In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. We've edged further out on the limb, exploring the many facets of non-humans living among us, masquerading as humans, as a dominant parasitic class. In the last interview with Carissa Conti, her research filled in more missing pieces in the context of the engineered pandemic. We talked about how certain individuals rose to strategic positions within human society. We also looked at the question, how did so many in healthcare, school boards, law enforcement, local and state government agencies, do everything they could to murder and take down society? The history of magic and sleight-of-hand performance reveal how the limits of human perception are easily exploited. Our eyes perceive light within a narrow range of the broad electromagnetic spectrum, leaving many places for the interlopers to evade detection. Some of the variables examined in past shows include learning about the possible forms of camouflage the intruders take to successfully walk among us, such as a clone, a doppelganger, an android, or the intruder is wearing what's known as a liquid crystal human suit. Another variable is that the human could be partially sold or possessed. Keep in mind that books and film produced on this topic are also by design, because fictionalizing this type of covert alien invasion would be an effective use of reverse psychology. There are numerous sci-fi productions on this topic, therefore it can't be true. To build more scaffolding around the concept of how human society can be quietly subverted by lookalike intruders displaying some type of adaptive camouflage technique or entities inhabiting human bodies, we welcome back Evie Lorgan. Evie is a professional hypnotherapist and counselor. She's the author of The Love Bite, Alien Interference of Human Love Relationships, and her second book is titled The Dark Side of Cupid. Evie was a close associate of the late Barbara Bartlett, and she's dedicated in continuing and expanding the work of the late Dr. Carla Turner. We go now to hear the second part of this interview with Evie Lorgan. Evie, welcome to part two of this interview, and we'll just continue talking about some of the work that you've done here, and specifically this connects to where we left off in part one. And what is a false twin flame, and how would this scenario be added into the topic of non-humans among us?
Okay. Very good question. That's what most of my clients come to me because they think they realize later they maybe it was a false twin flame. And a lot of this twin flamey, like very powerful connection with someone, might have overtones of soul to soul telepathy and energetic, communion even on astral levels. And so the people will use that term twin flame. It's a very common term. But in the quote, original work I did was, we called it the Alien Love Bite, which was orchestrated, engineered love obsession between two people who were both taken by the aliens somehow or manipulated by them to have a very strong connection. So in the initial ones, what Barbara Bartlett helped me understand, there would be the drama of the alien engineered love obsession that had a dynamic to it that was kind of similar to some of what we see with classic narcissistic personality disorder, where there's an initial love obsession, and then there might be a carrot being dangled, but not really being able to consummate it, or a lot of drama, and then the other person will basically be switched off, and then leave the other person pining away in unrequited love because they still have this very powerful, strong soul connection to another individual that it just blows them away, right? So that was how I discovered, quote, the alien love bite through the things that were being reported with people who had ongoing or multiple alien visitation encounters, abductions. But what I'm getting now, which is really, I believe, an extension of a same kind of thing going on, but the entities, the non-human third-party entities involved, might be either engineering two people to get together, or one person is actually overshadowed or partially possessed by a vampiric being that will feed on sexual energy, emotional energy, and be able to have, it almost seems, paranormal and supernatural abilities to, like, astrally connect, have astral etheric sex. Something called telesthesia is when someone's, like, laying in bed and they might be, let's say they met someone who they're having a powerful connection with. They feel it, like, it's almost like telepathy, and your energy fields are already, like, melded together. It's really strange. And then they may experience as if the person basically is maybe touching them or having sex with them right there, like, in the body, but it's like an energy body doing it. So it's a very strange thing. But the term that I think it was the remote viewer guy, Ingo Swann, who wrote a book called Psychic Sexuality, and then he talked about telesthesia, and that is when we actually can perceive in a very palpable, even physical way or energetic way, somebody's energy body basically sexually touching us, or we pick that up. We feel it as if we've basically had sex, or someone's actually touching us, or, you know, as if they're invisible having sex with our body, like they're in bed. Or an astral thing where people thinking they have a twin flame. This gets to this false twin flame thing where they, let's say they meet a person, or it could be a superstar. Maybe it's like a rock star they're obsessed with. And it could be an actor, could be, you know, a cult leader, you know, or whatever. And then they will have dreams where it's like a very real astral lucid dream where they're having soul melding or astral sex connection with another human being, that they're having an ongoing telepathic and astral dreamscape experience with over time. And it's driving this love obsession and this belief that they're meeting with their twin flame in their dreams. And a lot of times there's actually a high-level entity, and, you know, some Christians may call them fallen angels. I think there's different ones who are doing this who are really good at it. But some of them are observed as, like, Dracos or reptilians or some kind of incubi-succubi thing, where the person is interacting with that figure using a human image that might be like a rock star or an actor or a guru. But a lot of times it's an entity that's actually a familiar spirit, or is partially possessed by the person that they're having the obsession with. But then sometimes they're masquerading behind that form in order to get that person to believe and have a love obsession and give up a lot of sexual and astral, sexual, emotional energy to this being masquerading as whoever. So sometimes it's with somebody who's living in the body, who's, like, partially possessed, or an entity's, like, working them. Or then sometimes it's strictly astral and they've never met the person who they think is their twin flame. And it could be a famous person that they're obsessed with. So I get reports like that where they really believe, and they have the synchronistic communication that's happening on social media or with their phone or with their text. So it tries to reinforce and reify that obsession and that belief system that that person is their twin flame. So I believe that there's high-level predators that can do this, and that we know now from the reports I've gotten that they often are hiding behind, like, a certain type of spiritual cult leader kind of persona. And it could be, you know, a rock star or somebody famous. Or maybe it's not, and that entity is just using the form of, like, you know, a famous actor, for example. But it's a very real thing, and they do drive this to paranormal and supernatural levels. But they could really make someone really believe that they're having connection with the astral body of the person they're having this love obsession relationship with. And, you know, I've had reports actually anecdotal reports that where, let's say, the person has had this ongoing astral twin flame thing with, let's say, somebody famous, okay, and they think that the person's communicating with them telepathically in their dreams or even on social media. And then they may meet them in person, and when they meet them in person, they'll talk to them like, don't you remember me or whatever, and then the person's like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't know you. And they're devastated because the person who is the image that this entity is acting behind doesn't acknowledge that there's even a connection or anything going on. So that could set the other person who believed it all along like it was so real. I mean, so it seems real, and they're affecting them on many levels, even physically, even like what they call telesthesia sex. There's that going on. Okay, I'll just set aside for a moment. But there's also, and this is what I found out through cult leaders and certain people masquerading as maybe healers in a field, like psychic healing, where they're so linked in with these, I don't know what you call the beings. Maybe it's a Draco, maybe it's a familiar spirit, but a very high-level one. Maybe it's a fallen angel, for all, or I don't know. But they don't admit to that this is what they're doing to many people because they're feeding on the energy. So a lot of them, I think, they know exactly what they're doing. And this is where, like, the more malevolent sorcerers, they won't let people know that's what they're really doing. But they are doing it, and they are conscious of it. But they'll gaslight you into thinking that, no, you are mistaken. You see what I mean? Some of this is really going on with, like, very evil people who know how to utilize this form of energy vampirism and manipulation. And I believe it gives them power. It's like a sorcery power.
Yeah, I wondered about the function there, where if it was just plain subterfuge against humanity and interference, or a messaging behind it to get messages in there, take up their time, or just parasitic vampirism.
Yeah, and I think all of the above happens. And I know now that technology is very much integrated into this type of connection, and that you can get extremely synchronistic communication that appears like you really are having communication with someone, you know, like text messages or social media posts, you know, timed in such a way that it's, I believe that they're using technology and the power of the principality of the air and other, what I think are alien technologies that are already linked in with what we're starting to get used to in our daily lives with, you know, the internet, social media, digital, you know, streaming technology, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's something there that they could connect directly with your energy field and telepathically, but also do some of this weird twin flame love bite kind of stuff.
Oh, for sure. And thank you for explaining some of this area. And because the lines are blurred with the microwave attacks and the gang stalking and the alien level technology that is influencing inherent telepathic abilities of humans. And so it's very important to be able to look at both realms and ultimately know. One of the goals here is to influence human thinking and human behavior. I understand what we're talking about here, this concept. It's not breaking news, and it's likely ancient information. And the same entities involved with this human interference are likely involved somehow in revising history. The censoring and revising of human history makes it difficult to get traction and build a legacy of spiritual enlightenment through human generations. Listeners know about crisis actors building false consensus. How do non-humans participate in this counterfeit reality, according to your research?
Well, I believe it's definitely happening, even in the truth movement, okay? I don't want to cast aspersions of blame or badness on people, but I believe that there are entire groups of people that are being socially engineered to carry out an agenda that's actually, let's say, an alien agenda. And then they're humans, but they're driven to follow, you know, this mission, like a mission. But thing you mentioned about how they erase history. And so this is also a tactic that I could use, let's say, a psychology parallel in a personality disorder, which is very popularized now, and they probably overuse it, but with narcissistic personality disorder, or with like certain psychopathy and what do you call it, sociopaths, where their classic interaction with a human being, often in a love, let's say a love relationship, it's transactional. There might be an initial love bombing, attention, initial connection, and then a gradual devaluation along with gaslighting and then discarding and cutting them off so that the person is pining away and are like really hurt and they feel devalued, but they also are gaslit in such a way that if you report, well, you know, when you did this to me or when you said that to me, and well, that hurt my feelings, you know, did you really mean this or that? And they'll basically bullshit you that it's all in your head. You're just being overly sensitive or blah, blah, blah. But they're really lying because they really are people who will devalue you and have contempt for you and treat you in this way. But what they're doing, though, with the gaslighting and with the devaluation and discarding, it's a similar themed behavior where when someone wants to, let's say, overtake your identity, okay, like what happens in cult members, like say the cult leader is like a bad cult leader, they will gaslight and do things to you, break down your ego, to break down your identity, cause you to become confused, and you basically no longer remember who you are and what you felt, and now you are just a puppet of what they are telling you that you feel and believe and know about yourself. So they basically hijack your identity and your history. So this is important because the same phenomena is happening large scale in the world, let's say on the internet, Wikipedia, or many books and history and things that I knew even 25 years ago of, let's say, MyLab reports or MKUltra reports, SRA people, alien abductees, people in programs who went public. They might have, you know, had a website for like a year or two, or they had their, you know, 15 minutes of fame or 2 hours of fame doing their story, and then their story disappears. So the history of what they said that maybe people don't really want to be out there, it basically gets erased from the internet history and even in ufology. So what we're seeing now, only because I've been around long enough to watch this, that there's many case histories of people in my labs and different projects and abduction stuff, the younger ones coming up with the popular opinion, which keeps reasserting itself. Okay, it's an agenda that keeps reasserting itself. Its narrative is basically marginalize and minimalize and erase the history of the early ones that could make connections to show they keep driving disclosure and the alien agenda no matter what. It's the same kind of thing that they're doing to people by erasing history and making us believe what they want us to believe and engineering those narratives and those belief systems. And then they will do like classical conditioning where a certain narrative or type of experience, and you know, people are going to be pissed off at me, but let's say, for example, someone who's had alien visitations all their life or abductions, and then they might have had my labs also or a SRA history.
I just want to break in here. Tell listeners what SRA is.
I know I ramble, but because I want to make a point. S, satanic ritual abuse testimonies, which means someone has been in a family cult where they worship and do rituals for satanic, sometimes Luciferian or other demonic underworld beings. And that there is a classic form of how they raise people in these families or cults that will cause them psychological trauma and sexual trauma, any kind of trauma that causes dissociation. So what they're doing is they're causing a multiple personality where they may erase your original identity and your original natural organic connection to yourself to put on alter personalities that have certain qualities or they're programmed in a certain way. So basically they can erase your original identity and replace it, let's say, with an alter personality that has a particular program. So that's what I mean when we have the classic narcissistic abuse or even people in cult abuse, they do it for a strategic reason And there's a reason behind it. It's just not, you've been abused and therefore you have MPD because you had sexual abuse. This is a strategic, systematized form of mind control and control of people and their history and their beliefs in society. So it's done on purpose to erase original identity and original history.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for going into that. And MPD is multiple personality disorder. Okay, I didn't mean to derail the larger point.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that I ramble. And it's because I want to make a point, because I could make connections between things I've seen and heard for 30 years that are really no longer on the internet that people don't remember. And I can give you an example, and it's kind of fringy, okay? But it's based on how certain things just disappear from the internet. You don't hear about them much. But let's say 25 years ago, there was a woman who was an MK Ultra Monarch mind controlled programmed slave who was probably satanic ritual abuse cult family. And then remembering her experiences being used in her capacity, like just one of the capacities, we'll say sex slave, for example. They got a beta sex altar. This is common knowledge in people who studied Monarch MK Ultra, okay? And that's one of the functions, is they will create an altar personality that has the function of sexually servicing, the controllers, the handlers, whoever. Whoever can know their code and bring up that cue, then that altar pops up and has sex with the client or whatever. But in this particular woman's testimony, her name was Beth Gooby. I remember her. And it was online, and it was probably written interviews, and I don't know if there's many vocal ones still out there. But one of her jobs as an SRA person who had multiple personality with a sex altar, she would have sex with the, quote, John, which would be, but a lot of times it was like a handler or a type of person who was already a high-level cult person who knew black magic, and they would use sexual tantra as a way to have sexual relations by utilizing the tantric sexual energy towards a magical intention or ritual. So this woman remembered being used to have sex with the Johns, who would then use that energy to create a grid of life force sexual energy in the astral realms and dimensions. So some of the sex would be physical, and some of it I think would be also astral. But this, the Johns that knew how to do this, these magicians, they would use the sexual energy and then be able to immediately use that energy, that life force sexual energy in the astral realm, to create entire realities on like a grid. You create a grid that's like, you know, the holodeck on Star Trek, but you do it all in the astral realm, and you create an entire reality through life force sexual energy, so they can abduct and take people and utilize them in these like parallel astral worlds that they create through life force and sexual energy. Okay, including fake temple complexes that make you think when you go out of the body, you end up in these realities, maybe these temple complexes or medical facilities or whatever. But I know, based on what I heard over the years, that there is something going on with astral and out-of-the-body abductions and being taken to, as if they're artificially constructed, virtual reality dimensional worlds. And so, because these things are not reported, or if they were, they're erased from the internet, okay? So when people are abducted, for example, or they're taken in these experiences, or they might remember memories, they think they were taken to a particular place, and then it may actually be one of these false astral realms, and what they really had was an out-of-the-body abduction in one of these engineered realities, like a virtual reality. And so I don't think people are making connections, because they don't want us to make the connections that there's a lot of deception in consciousness and human energy that they don't take into consideration. If they would have known history of some of the early people who did their testimonies that included elements of satanic ritual abuse, humans connected with military abductions and reptilians and humans, then they would know there's a connection. But they keep wanting to drive the narrative that, well, it's really their galactic ET friends that are the good guys, and they're getting telepathic messages and downloads from their friends, but the military are the bad guys. Or that all the human, you know, government and military people, well, they're the bad guys, but the aliens are the good ones. But it's all a con. I mean, I think it's a con where they try to make the aliens the redeemer heroes, and all the humans are bad, creating all these problems. But when you look at the top, usually the top ones running it are these high-level system hierarchy families, satanic ritual abuse, who use magic and tantra and, you know, high-level magic with these other beings to turn humans against our own race. And this is what I'm concerned about. They're creating narratives by erasing the other histories and marginalizing those stories. Those researchers, they get targeted. They may have a testimony, but you only hear about it maybe for a year or two, and then they're erased from the internet. And then nobody knows about it 20 years later, and they're following the same game that they've been doing, which is to always cause us to want to accept the alien presence as these benefactors, or maybe like the Tall Whites, for example, and they're going to help prevent nuclear war. Well, how wonderful are they? But then I know people who've had encounters with the Tall Whites whose testimony was basically erased, where the Tall Whites, which is like, what, Nevada, there's a lot of talk about the Tall Whites, right? They're kind of weird Nordic, but alien grays, but they look white and they're really tall. So they're kind of, it's like they want to normalize this benevolent, maybe neutral race towards the humans. But with some reports that I got, whose books were never really made big sales, they were being used in these alien love bite connections where the alien whites actually admitted to somebody who got lucid in her experience that they were feeding off their energy, their emotional and sexual energy, because they considered it a... like caviar, a delicacy. The alien Tall Whites told the gal that they were putting people together based on how they thought they would be matched together with the karmic tendrils of energy that connected between people. They could perceive this subtle energy that connects people karmically, and then they would take advantage of that and catalyze and strengthen those, let's say, karmic links to make a strong, quote, love bite. And then they would just like loosh off of what they just catalyzed and engineered to be even an even stronger emotional and sexual connection with someone.
It certainly gives a new meaning to that Beatles song, you Gotta Hide Your Love Away.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. I guess as someone who's been around for a while and noticed these things, and watched how many testimonies of people that I heard over the years or even read about or listened to years ago, it's no longer on the internet. Or the newer researchers, they're just bypassing it, and they just keep going for what keeps being pushed. So disclosure is never really going to be the whole ball of wax. And it's always going to be engineered towards accepting these aliens or making it maybe a good cop, bad cop situation. But we know that there's human groups who are involved with the more malevolent ones, and there's human involvement that are not like in agreement with this, and they don't like what's happening, and they're working against them. So there's a lot of compartmentalization going about what's really happening.
The dynamics about what is happening, or that you're able to extrapolate from these experiences of your clients, is really interesting, and I think really important. I wanted to talk more about walk-ins or possession. Would you please explain your research of how the poison jab, the shots, have affected the souls of some people? Not everyone, of course, but you've been told some interesting information about what the experimental gene therapy shot can do to DNA in terms of corruption and frequency change.
I'll have to be careful what I say, because there's things going on that I think have always been going on, like secret experimentation on humans, for example. They've probably always been going on. And that this is something that I learned not only as a biochemist. For example, immortal cell lines are often cancer cell lines, or human fetal foreskin, or, HEP2 is like an old cancer line that's been going on for a long time. But like in tissue culture, if you use like real lines that are not the immortal type, they will eventually degrade and like die after 7 generations. Or if there's a corruption, a lot of times if there's a corruption in the DNA, it eventually can't be grown up anymore. But what I'm getting to is that in Dr. Corrado Malanga's research, this is an Italian biochemist who works at a University of Pisa, or at least he did alien abduction research, did a bunch of regressions, found out information based on how he understands how the aliens are affecting us with our triad of consciousness in the body. And that he knew that some people believed that they might have had clone bodies, or that they were part alien, or they thought they had genetically modified bodies, for example, or maybe they were a type of hybrid or chimera, but they still looked human. And so his assessment, based on what he actually got the information from doing hypnotic regressions, but doing it very, very well, that basically the human soul will reject the body whose DNA is corrupted to a certain degree. So let's say someone's been genetically modified with another type of DNA that's not natural to the human genome, then the soul eventually will reject it. And so the ultimate rejection, of course, would be like the body doesn't live. The soul won't live in the body, or it'll stay hanging out outside. And then what he said that the aliens wanted to do, which is if you could put them enough of the alien DNA or whatever chimera DNA they want to put in there, so that the soul still will not reject the body. In other words, you'll still be souled, but it'll be affected by the corrupted genetics, such that the soul will be a little bit, let's say, dissociated outside the body. So what they wanted was that if people are dissociated enough outside the body, but the soul hasn't completely rejected the body whose DNA has been corrupted, then they could be more easily possessed or hosted or parasited by these alien parasites. So basically there was like a level of ability to corrupt the DNA so that people could become more easily hosted or taken over by an alien consciousness. So that was basically his assessment, that, you know, the more someone was corrupted genetically, or maybe the ones that claimed that they were more of a hybrid seemed to be more controlled by the aliens who were interacting with them, which is, that's mind control. Okay, that's soul and mind control. I don't think that's good. So that's my assessment, that the more corrupted a DNA will get, the less the soul is going to want to stay embodied. And so when someone is traumatized, dissociated, one of the side effects is, we know this in trauma, right? Why they do trauma-based mind control. They can not only create alter personalities, but make it so that attached entities and demons or other beings could live in that body and parasite that body or partially possess them. So the idea goes that, well, we have to ask the question. I'm going to do it by asking the question that, well, if there are different mRNAs, for example, that could substitute themselves and cause our genes to express something that is unnatural to the natural human genome, what might our souls be doing if it suspects or feels that it is not congruent, not compatible with the frequency, the original frequency of the body? So it starts to become incompatible with the human soul, who says, no, I can't go in that body. It's no longer compatible with me. So I'm going to hang out outside a little bit. And when that happens, people are more easily manipulated by these alien beings or other entities to just hop on in. And so that's what I think could be happening based on some reports. But I don't think everybody who has been, let's say, modified this way will have that kind of experience. But I think that, you know, whenever there's a human hybrid, let's say a reptilian hybrid bloodlines, they're more easily possessed and taken over by that kind of consciousness, because those bodies are prepped for that kind of consciousness takeover. So we don't want to corrupt, basically, you don't want to corrupt the human body and the human DNA too much, or we might have some problems. Let's put it that way. There have been reports, and I'm just going to say it, but it's far and few between, and I don't know if it's really related, but, you know, the increase in shadow people, for example, or the increase in paranormal, demonic, weird entity activity following this mass inoculation program. So, and that people's consciousness is more easily taken over if their bodies aren't in complete congruence genetically now with their soul. So it could cause a lot more easy possession and maybe rapid mood changes. Maybe their consciousness could be easily taken over and overlaid by this alien consciousness thing that I might have mentioned in the first interview, which is really part of, I believe, an alien hive consciousness that is real.
Yeah, it reminded me of those beetles that use infrared to recognize sick trees that they attack.
I know that they were doing the scanning, like at airports, where they basically, you know, the fluorophore that's in there, the luciferase, it's just a fluorescent enzyme, you know, mm-hmm. that they could get from the you know, the firefly. But that's just probably because it's tagged in. Still, our bodies are energizing that, you know, bioluminescent thing.
It's interesting how there is a non-physicality when we talk about the capture and piloting of human consciousness. And as you've discovered repeatedly, one of the vectors of this takeover is being so traumatized you don't resolve shadow issues. You then resonate in the psychopath frequency, for example, which creates easy access for these entities. And the other vector, a related factor, I would say, of self-medication, again, altering frequency. And continuing with the more obvious frequency, would you talk about, please, how microwave radiation emitting from personal communication devices facilitate an easier access for negative entities? You've referenced Dr. Corrado Malanga's work in your research. Would you talk about why his work is important contextually?
As an anecdote, I did a research an interview with a man who does research with Sasquatch and other kinds of beings that may be interdimensional. Like, you know how Sasquatch are reported to go in and out of reality, and this guy like took pictures of entities coming in through trees, like trees are a portal from the underworld. But one of the things that he mentioned was that I guess in areas where there were Sasquatch sightings, there was also a lot of radiation, and that there was a connection between, you know, those kind of sightings and radiation, which suggests maybe their presence or interdimensional popping in and out of reality could create signatures. It could be that. And then there was, I'm trying to remember, there was something else that, Corrado Malanga's basic tenet of how we quit or stop alien abductions, right, is to integrate our mind, spirit, and soul in the body in a coherent fashion, so we have a direct communication between the triad of consciousness in our body. So let's say someone who would normally is not dissociated, for example, and they have a coherent connection between their regular mind with their spirit and soul, as he understood it, according to his definition of what those terms mean. So the most important part of it is how we can have a direct, coherent communication with our higher self, really, our eternal now spirit, in the body and in the mind, so that it doesn't get severed or disjointed or hijacked or substituted with another kind of consciousness pretending to be the higher self or pretending to be a spirit guide or our protectors or the aliens or our identity as aliens in another life. Or so he found that, wait a minute, you know, we need to get a coherent connection with our mind, spirit, and soul in the body to get to the truth of what are the aliens doing and who are we compared to who are them. So we had to be clear on, wait a minute, we get to know who we are by having a coherent, integrated consciousness that is basically healing trauma as well, but also spiritually connecting appropriately and to the original spiritual, eternal, higher self, spirit. You know what I mean? So what he saw is that the aliens were basically hijacking this and pretending and, you know, preventing us from connecting to the higher self and like the real God, basically. So, and then people would be believing they're hearing their spirit guides, or they're hearing, you know, ascended masters, or their angel protectors, or maybe their benevolent galactic brothers and sisters. And then they would be pretending, right? And then what they're, but they're really not hearing their higher self, or their, the spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit. So this is what Malanga did. We, you know, we find a coherent connection between all this triad of consciousness that's natural for humans, and then block off the ones that are pretending and counterfeiting and parasiting and putting themselves in between our mind and our spirit and our soul, so that we don't have a direct connect with God. See, that was the thing. So when he did the appropriate regressions where we reconnected with the higher self, and the aliens would keep trying to come back, you know, and they play this game until we finally, when you get strong enough in your direct connect and your integrated consciousness, which really means recovering and working with the trauma instead of the spiritual bypass program that the counterfeit consciousness wants to do. Remember the narrative that they're driving. So we have to be clear what we're really perceiving. So Malanga found out, wait, you know, the aliens are just like pretending, and they're, you know, parasiting. And, you know, when we get in connection with our real higher self and our real spirit, we don't need those aliens to be our spirit guides or galactic brothers and sisters to tell us what to do and to save us. So that's my question, is like the spiritual deception, they do it really, really well. And that's why I believe in what I do when I work with, it's all about trauma recovery and integrating our natural consciousness and triad of consciousness in our body, and clearing out the trauma, and being able to speak freely instead of feeling like, well, you know, joining a cult group. So I believe there's an engineering of, you know, basically that's a type of abuse, right? These fallen angels, you know, they put us in these abusive situations so we can never really heal from multi-generational trauma. So we're easy pickings for a big harvest loose feeding operation. So this is why we need to recover our trauma truly and get through what I call the spiritual bypass, which is the counterfeit pretending to be our true healer or our true spirit guides. And so it's like a, how can I use the term? You know, you ever hear the term glass ceiling for, you know, income, for example?
Sure.
You hit a glass ceiling, like women here to hit a glass ceiling, no matter how many PhDs you have, you know, you can't go any further. Well, it's like there's a glass ceiling on where the disclosure and the aliens and all this narrative is going to be driven to a glass ceiling, which is the hijack and the, you know, substitute redeemer heroes of these aliens or ET beings. But we're not, we need to go higher than that glass ceiling, which is the pretense. So that's my concern, because I believe that's what's happening in our human bodies, that we no longer can have as easy of a direct connect. What we may be getting is telepathic messages of the alien hive mind or the alien domain consciousness, or something preventing us from actually connecting with that, because the genetics is corrupted. And that's a concern.
Oh, definitely. This trauma that people are experiencing, they don't know where it's coming from. And Evie, this is a facet of your profession. It's helping those with anomalous trauma. Would you please tell listeners more about this work?
Well, anomalous trauma, I mean, I started out, you know, wanting to know more about alien abductions, because I had that too, right? You know, but as a therapist, I mean, I got my master's in counseling psychology. My emphasis was family systems and marriage and family, which was actually really hard for me, because I was in a bad marriage at the time. And it's hard to do that kind of work when your own life is like, uh-oh, I'm not living a good example here in a crappy marriage and a lot of unresolved trauma. And you can't, I have to say that it's hard to recover from your trauma when you're still in a dysfunctional relationship, whether it's, you know, family or your boss or your spouse. It's actually hard to do. So recovery from trauma is like the whole magic thing that I believe we need to do to get to come back to our true power. So anomalous trauma is just anything out of the norm of human experience. And I think we need to know, we need to have a safe way to be able to speak about this with true trauma recovery instead of, for example, it's a natural human need to feel accepted, to feel understood, like we matter, that someone believes us for our weird experiences. So this happens with people who've been in cults or had alien visitations or abductions, and they will want to meet with others who've had them, but there's always the concern that that they may join a, let's say, a group, and that group holds a narrative of, well, I'm a special starseed, and these are my galactic brothers and sisters, and I'm, you know, a hybrid, and how wonderful am I, and that these are my people, and, you know, we're going to ascend, and this and that. And I think they're trying to substitute our true human needs for connection and acceptance, but it bypasses the true trauma resolution that needs to take place for what our spirit knows, the truth. And our spirit will tell us and actually give us a traumatic feeling that something's very wrong in our body when the truth is not revealed or integrated. So people who've had the real trauma, sometimes they don't know. It's all an amnesia. And they might want to believe something that's good, and they're doing all these spiritual cultivation practices or a group culty thing, but the trauma is still there. But I could tell you that people's spirits do know the truth. And if they listen to their spirit, they will feel that it will not feel good. They will be ill at ease, and they'll also feel the trauma in their bodies. But when we truly recover from it, we will have a more of a direct connect with our spirit. But I think there are people whose spirits are screaming at them, and they can't get their attention. And they're believing and identifying with a narrative that is actually anti-spiritual truth. And that's very disappointing to see when you see that kind of control going on, because the spiritual deception is the worst, I believe, the worst thing that could happen to us, because it's so easy to capture souls this way. And that's my main thing, you know, resolve the trauma truly by getting your true needs met by really communicating with your direct connect spirit, not some ascended master, not some spirit guide who's pretending to be your alien, you know, ET brother or sister. Just do the direct connect with your spirit and leave the cult leaders out of it. Leave the aliens out of it. You don't need to identify with that. You know, people who identify with being a starseed, far as I'm concerned, that's unresolved trauma, because we really don't need to take that identity at all. Once you recover your true human nature, we don't need to be a friggin' starseed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Evie, this is the end of part two of this really insightful interview. I really appreciate this. You're right near the front lines of this spiritual war. No doubt, put yourself at risk to help others. And for that, I want to say thank you very much. Thank you. It's not easy work. You are the author of two powerful books, The Love Bite, Alien Interference of Human Love Relationships, and The Dark Side of Cupid. These books have surely helped many readers understand bizarre relationship interference and then heal from it, for sure. And Evie's website, where you would also learn to protect yourself against these etheric intruders and physical non-humans appearing human, is evelorgan.com. And Evie, tell listeners again how they can learn more about your work.
Well, I would just say my Alien Love Bite Telegram channel, my website, evelorgan.com, both my books, The Love Bite and The Dark Side of Cupid, you could still get them on Kindle and hard copy from me. And you could learn about that and then whatever interviews I do. But I would, you know, a lot of the people who come to me now, I would say definitely do research into complex trauma, and they call it the complex PTSD recovery. And when we can do that along with true spiritual work and integration, we will have a much better way of dealing with the anomalous trauma. But like I said in the earlier interview, I realized later, a lot of technologies can also be of assistance with people who've discovered, for example, like the David Case material, that you interviewed with the CD and also the Velostat material to protect against jammed alien telepathy and OBE abductions. So that, you know, I say this because we need to rule out. I'm like a doctor that will say, okay, well, we don't know what it is, but we need to rule this out, rule that out, then we can find out what it is. So we need to rule out fake alien telepathy, thinking that's your own thoughts or your spirit guide. Because if you can block it, it ain't right. You know what I mean? So that's what I want to say is like, yes, you can find out. Yes, you can do the trauma recovery and you could discover all these things. And it is not hopeless, but we need to do deep dives into trauma recovery. And it is possible.
Evie Lorgan, thank you again for being on In Other News.
Thank you.
Going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.
things in our lives, and there are weapons formed against us every day. And we're just making a declaration that He is for us no matter what. And that thing that's been, that addiction, that thing that just seems like this is something formed against me, it cannot prosper because God is for me. He is for me. So we're just going to sing this. If that's okay, we're just going to sing it. It is okay. We're going to sing it. There is so much power in this. I don't want to sing it out of hype. There are real things. Some of you are tormented in your mind. Some of you are tormented in the night when you sleep. Some of you, there's a sickness that's been trying to get at you. And the word says that no weapon formed against you will prosper because He is for us. This is not pretty words. This is a promise from our Father. And there's going to be a breakthrough in your heart.